This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio. Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
The opening of Winnipeg's Museum of Human Rights this fall prompted the First Nations community of Shoal Lake 40 to call out the museum for hypocrisy. Shoal Lake 40 is only 100 miles outside of Winnipeg, but its residents have endured a lifetime of assaults to their most basic rights. In response, they have established a museum called the Museum of Canadian Human Rights Violations. The residents opened up their homes and territory to expose the truth about Canada's human rights records. Here to discuss these injustices is resident of Shoal Lake 40, Daryl Redsky. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning.
Can you explain how Winnipeg's Museum of Human Rights and Shoal Lake 40 are connected?
Certainly. Certainly by no choice that we are connected, but the connection between both communities is a water pipe, the water source that we supply the city of Winnipeg here from our community into the city of Winnipeg. So there is a physical connection between my community and the city of Winnipeg, also as well to the museum in which we talk about.
The Canadian Museum of Human Rights Violations, what was it that got you to decide that you wanted to create your own alternative museum to talk about human rights?
I think what the lead-up was the opening of the museum itself in Winnipeg on human rights, and I think we had this aha moment between our working group and kind of came up with this whole concept of which it really is, has been existent. In existence all along was our own Museum of Violations, and we just decided to expose ourselves, our community, instead of living in it, but also opening it up to the rest of the other communities as well, society.
You know, Daryl, when I first heard that you were doing this, I actually was struck by what a brilliant idea it was, and it's amazing that you've come up with this. If someone were to come to your community of Shoal Lake 40 as saying they were coming to the Museum of Human Rights Violations, what would they see there?
Well, they would see a journey at 20 minutes off the highway down a gravel road, and then they would have to pass through another community and then hop on a ferry or a barge to cross. And of course, these would cost you. There's a toll gate they would have to pay, and then there's also a ferry service that you would have to pay, and then you would come across on our tiny community, and again, you would be met by pretty rough roads, pretty rough conditions, sad conditions for a community, you know, understanding that we are living on an island with literally hardly any resources.
Tell me about the conditions that you live with day by day that's caused by that remoteness and lack of proper infrastructure.
Well, for one thing, I mean, to us, gravel is like gold here. We don't have any, there's been no gravel left for us. I think all the gravel that we had on our prime land was expropriated and taken from us to build the aqueduct and the dike. Back in the day when they were building this aqueduct to the city. And as a result of that, I mean, it's a forced isolation. Everything that we try to bring in here is a total heavy cost.
And what are the results then for your, what are your homes like? What is the physical community like when people get there?
Well, you would see you would see rundown buildings. There's mold in pretty much most of the houses, and I myself have been suffering for the last two or three years as a result of living in those kind of conditions. It feels like I have a cold all the time. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, people do, no matter how healthy and how much you try to take care of yourself, you're not immune to the effects of the conditions that we're surrounded by.
Now, it's my understanding that you invited the staff of the Museum of Human Rights that's in Winnipeg to tour your territory. What was the response of staff members there after they visited Shoal Lake 40?
Well, they were pretty astounded by what they saw. You know, like it's always one thing to hear something from people, but I mean, it's always certainly different to see something firsthand, to witness it, to bear witness to what you've been told about them. Everything that we told them when they came down here for themselves, you know, they were blown away. They were kind of in shock, you might say.
Did they describe the human rights violations that they saw there? Did they see it as human rights violations?
Of course, yes. I think if I can quote one of them, they said there's a whole cascade of human rights issues here, as one of them said.
Now, will Shoal Lake 40 and the genocide of First Nations people, have there been any moves now to include that in the museum's exhibit?
Yeah, as a result of the July 9th visit from the museum staff, they're making a concerted effort to at least to get our story out into the community. You know, I've told them themselves, you know, we realize that they're in no position to effect any change, but at least they're in a position to help us get our story out so that our situation can be heard, and maybe somebody out there, like in government, could actually come out here and see for themselves the result of their actions or decisions that were made a decade ago.
Yeah, Daryl, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that your story is probably a story that's repeated in First Nations communities and in many places in Canada. Did the museum suggest that they might take a wider look at the effects of colonialism on First Nations in Canada?
Well, yeah, they have. Certainly, I mean, in terms of when you said there's other communities that are similar to ours, yes, I'm aware of that. But I think in terms of our situation, the ours can go back into the 1900s when they came to. You have to understand that our community was once a whole community, but as a result of that expropriation and the intake of the water, we've been split into three parts. Our community, and the part that we live on is the one that's actually been that's actually been made into a man-made island from those decisions back there.
So there's a long history of how the community has suffered the effects of these issues.
Exactly. Yes, we've had people. We've lost our relatives, loved ones. You know, just trying to come home or trying to leave the community to go out, coming home from work or going to work.
Daryl, has the community of or the city of Winnipeg or the province of Manitoba taken notice of Shoal Lake 40's message?
Yes, I mean it's taken us this long. Over the years, I mean my father's generation, my grandfather's generation, they've all attempted to have our issue heard, and they brought our issues to them as well. And it's only this time now that the people are hearing the issues here and what's happening out here, and. They're coming to terms with understanding what's happening here, and they're realizing the injustices that's been happening here. So they're certainly coming on side with us.
What are you asking for from the government of Canada? What do you want them to do?
Well, I guess it's not only us. It's also the city of Winnipeg and the province of Manitoba, and they're the only people that are missing at this table here to resolve and rectify the situation, because we can't expect the city or the province of Manitoba to fix the government, what the Canadian government has started. They're the ones that have to come here and rectify the situation themselves. And we've been trying to get them out here ever since, and we haven't had a response to date.
What are the things that you need and that you need them to make sure that you have to live in a healthy sense in your community?
Well, going back to the 1900s, they cut us off from the rest of the world. They denied us access when they did that. So all we're asking is, you know, if they took our access away, like, we need them to provide access to us so we can get in and out of this community without having to lose lives and without having to pay extra on everything else like everybody else has. We just want the same basic human rights other people in this country have. The right to get home, the right to safe homes, you know, the right to healthy lives and security.
And what about water and your homes? What do you need there?
Well, our water is in really bad shape. I'd say about 15 years ago, you know, I was able to go down the hill and drink right out of the lake and stick my head in the water and just start drinking. Today, we can't do that anymore, unfortunately, because we're getting sewer and pollution from both ends of our lake here. Just right directly north of us is a township or a settlement called Falcon Lake. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cottagers, and all the effluent flows down the river, and it flows right into Shoal Lake here. And on the other end of Shoal Lake is Lake of the Woods, and that lake is polluted, and all that is coming into Shoal Lake. So a combination of both is killing our water.
If you could envision, Daryl, a future for your community that would be a positive one, and one that really provided a great community for the people of Shoal Lake 40, what would that look like to you?
What I envision in the future is reviving our lake, the lake restoring itself to what it once was. Our kids, my grandkids and my great-grandkids, having the ability to, the pleasure of swimming in it and drinking off the lake, and also for them to come and go as they please, you know, in nice, clean homes and the same opportunities as everybody else has in terms of employment, prosperity.
Well, Daryl, it's been good to talk to you today, and I really appreciate you telling us your story, and wish you good luck in making some progress there.
Well, thank you very much for calling us and including us in your programming.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too now.
I've been speaking with Daryl Redsky. He's a resident of Shoal Lake 40, about the Living Museum of Canadian Rights Violations.